When I walked into the building tonight, I knew that there was a shift that had already taken place. How many of you have felt this? Something has shifted for the good in a really special and divine way here. And I'm excited about that. I love that. It's really special to me. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm really overwhelmed with the goodness of the Lord today. It's so good to see what God's doing. We've had an amazing two nights. We have done things that, you know, we came expecting a revival, you know. Not that you guys needed reviving. You know, to be revived, you have to get vived first. And you guys were already alive and you didn't die from the life, you know. But, you know, we call it whatever we want to call it, but it's just a good time in the Lord. And I had one concept of what I wanted to do, what I felt like we were supposed to do at first, and then the Lord shifted this around and turned it into kind of like a teaching conference, huh? Yeah. And it's been a long time since I gave a 2-hour sermon. Some of you are like, oh man, you know, but we had a wonderful time. And all together we had probably 3.5 hours worth of teaching on this topic. And I gave you guys some protocol, some assignment, and I'm just going to go through this really quick. I'm not going to take a lot of time with it. I'm not going to re-preach the whole thing, but I'm going to get us all up together so we're all in unity on this here. Okay, remember, we talked about the cabal, which is a satanic plotting group, a war room of hell, and all of the different head generals of all of the different divisions that are coming together, and they're plotting together against us. Remember that? And there were 9 of them that we mentioned. The first one was the tormenting spirit. And what's a tormenting spirit? Anything that torments. You know, and that's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Get the tape if you need better, because we spent a lot of time on these things, didn't we? The second is the spirit of Leviathan, which is that spirit that twists words and sayings and brings offenses and civil wars to the body of Christ. The third one that we spoke about was the python spirit. Python spirit, that constricting spirit. There are 2 types of snakes. Those snakes that kill by venom, the other that kills by constriction. And that's what a python spirit does, is it wraps itself around and it will constrict anything it can constrict. It'll constrict your finances, it'll constrict your health, it'll constrict your ministry, it'll constrict anything that it can and slowly squeeze things to death. Okay? Then that's the python spirit. We spoke about the spirit of Baal and how Baal is probably the greatest spiritual stronghold over America. And that's where the Freemasonry stuff comes from, and that's where the other things come from that are strongholds of such a type in the world today, and we in the church, we got to deal with it too. And then we talked about the spirit of Belial, which is the spirit that brings rioting and mob rule and insurrection against authority and seductions of all types. Sexual seduction, spiritual seduction, political seduction, all kinds of seductions. And that's the work of Belial. Then we talked about the other 4. Remember, that's what we talked about the first night. Then last night we came back and we talked about in the book of Jude, beginning with verse 8 through 13 or 14, something like that. We talked about the spirit of Cain, okay? And that's brother against brother, and that's that which brings jealousy and civil wars, and it's very narcissistic. Narcissism is self-centeredness, by the way. And because God would accept one offering but not the other. It wasn't that it was a animal offering as opposed to a vegetable offering. It was a first fruits offering. It wasn't about the offering, the type of offering. It was about the attitude and the heart that went along with that. Okay? And we talked about the end result of a spirit of Cain is often the gypsy spirit, because Cain was marked and he's lived the rest of his life in a nomadic lifestyle and never put roots down anywhere again. And many Christians that are caught by the spirit of Cain and are influenced by that, that's how they end up being. And then we talked about the spirit of Korah, which is insurrection against authority. And so we talked a lot about the spirit of Korah. Then also the spirit of Balaam, which is prostituting the ministry, prostituting the the gospel of Jesus Christ, using it for selfish gain, selfish purposes, either financial or power monging or some other thing like that. Okay? And so we talked about that for a while. Intense stuff, huh? And then finally we talked about the spirit of Jezebel. We made the correlation between Jezebel and the spirit of witchcraft. Remember, there's two types of witchcraft. There's a witchcraft that is occultic witchcraft, and then secondarily, there is a type of witchcraft that is like in the Bible where Saul blew it and God speaks to him, and it came out that rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, it says there. And that type of witchcraft and that type of Jezebel rebellion, it's that controlling spirit that tries to insurrect and it's counterfeit spiritual authority. Okay? And it's also, it's pretty ugly stuff, huh? So, and the definition of that, remember, was anything that is intimidation or manipulation for the purpose of domination. So anything that manipulates or intimidates in order to dominate, that's not how the body of Christ should function. The body of Christ functions with love, with forgiveness, with restoration, with preferring one another in love, speaking the truth in love, 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 love. And there's no love in the Jezebel spirit. There's no love in the Korah spirit. There's no love in Cain. There's no love in any of these cabal spirits, right? We also talked about how when you're dealing with a cabal, you know, the plotting group, you're not dealing with just one spirit. You're dealing with multiple spirits. Maybe all nine, maybe seven of the nine, maybe four of the nine, whatever. Okay? But you get attacked by Python, and Python will wrap itself around you and start squeezing stuff out of you. Start squeezing it till there's nothing left. And then you chop the head off that thing just before you take your last breath. And oh, freedom, hallelujah, finally free. Just to find out that you're getting jumped on by Leviathan. And then you wrestle, and you finally get free of Leviathan just to realize that you're dealing with Korah, and then you're dealing with this, and you're spending all of your time, your resources, your energy, fighting, and your eyes are off the true purpose of Christianity, the true assignments of the kingdom of God, okay? And if you survive all those attacks, you're certainly compromised and limited in what you're able to do in the kingdom.
Right.
Okay? You're depleted. And that's not what the Lord wants. Okay? So understand that hell is organized like that. But the good news is, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world.
Amen.
We have nothing to fear when Jesus is near.
Amen.
Okay? We're more than conquerors through Christ. What Christ did on the cross was much more than enough. What Christ did on the cross was powerful and intense, and he did it all for you. The covenant of Jesus Christ is the most powerful agreement in the universe. Thank God for the cross of Jesus. Thank God for the victory that comes through knowing him. But we have to understand, we got to do this the right way, remember? So we talked about the protocol. There's a proper protocol, because you don't deal with general spirits, high-level spirits that have command of whole battalions and divisions, battalions, companies, platoons, and squads. You don't deal with general spirits the same way you do with low-level spirits. You just don't. It doesn't work that way. And God has given us a lot of authority as believers. But we don't have the same authority that Jesus does.
No.
He didn't give us all authority.
That's right.
He gave us some authority. He gave us limited authority. We need to understand the boundaries in which we're supposed to work.
Right.
If we don't, we're always going to be struggling. We're always going to be dealing with this and that, and never going to be getting down to the root and chopping the root off. Because I can't chop the root. Right. Jesus has to do it.
Yeah.
And the protocol is found right there. In the book of Jude, we talked about this last night in great detail, remember? Spent about 20 minutes talking about the protocol. Remember that? And the whole concept, it's very simple. And in that word there in Jude, it actually says, he simply said, the Lord rebuke you. Michael was battling against Lucifer over the body of Moses because Lucifer wanted that thing to be his body to be set up as a way of worshiping Moses instead of God. Get the children of Israel all sideways on stuff. And so Michael was wanting to take the body of Moses and have it buried in a secret place. That's what was going on. And when it came down to the struggle, Michael just stood back and said, "I'm not going to deal with you. The Lord rebuke you." And he uses that as a precedent on how to deal with these spirits, Cain, Korah, and Balaam. And the whole principle applies to a whole cabal. Works the same way. Okay, so simply, instead of dealing with it ourselves and trying to go against these generals ourselves, we need to align ourselves with the Lord. Make sure our hearts and minds are right with God, with leadership in this church, and with one another, and then bring this whole cabal to the Lord and ask the Lord to deal with it. Ask the Lord to rebuke it. Ask the Lord to get that out of there. It's not complicated, is it? But we have to have sincerity of heart. I gave you guys an assignment last night. The assignment was simply to search your hearts. Every single one of us. Search our hearts. Ask God, is everything really right between you and me? Is everything right between me and all of my brothers and sisters? Is everything right between me and the leadership of this church? It's a simple thing, but it's very complex. You know what? You know when it gets all complicated? When we put our flesh into it.
Yep.
When we put ourselves into it. It's like anything. Theology is not complicated when we take ourselves out of it. It's not complicated. It's only complicated when we got to try to figure our angle and how to deal with this. The only angle is a straight line to the cross. That's the only angle we need. From where I'm at to the cross, a straight line. That's the only mathematical equation I need. That's the only, what is it, trigonometry? Something like that? It's the only calculation I need. What's the straightest line to the cross? Anything else will be very complicated and complex and is not where we need to be anyway. It's simplicity of spirit. You know, it's so easy a caveman could do it, you know? I guess. It works for me anyway. Come on. So that's where we're at. And I know that many of you have been following this assignment. I've heard that some of you have been calling one another, ensuring that issues are resolved and things are okay. And people have been praying all day long. I know that. I could come into this room tonight and I could feel that. Many of you have followed this example. And you follow this assignment and you have sought God and you have sought your heart and you've sought out other people to make sure that things are right. And some of you have even called the pastor and told him how wrong he is. Just joking. Just joking. But some of you have even called the pastor to make sure that things are right with you and the pastor, and also to report to the pastor what you've been doing with other people in your relationship circles. And praise the Lord, this is what we need. This is the kind of unity that breaks the yoke. When we get out of our high horse, get out of our narcissism, and just lay it on the line before God. Oh, that's powerful. That's all God's ever wanted with us. That's what God wants with us at this point. Okay? I feel like we've already got this cabal spirit almost licked. Already. Because you see, what happens is these things, almost all the tactics of the devil, he likes to work in secrecy, in darkness, in hiddenness. He's very subtle. He's sneaky. He's the sneaky snake. He likes to do things very subtly. I talked last night about how it's like the frog in the kettle. Remember the frog in the kettle concept? You know, if you throw a frog in, you know, those old hillbillies are like frog legs. You throw a frog in boiling water, it's going to jump right back out. But if you put a frog in cold water and put it on the stove and slowly heat that water all the way up to a boiling point, that frog will never leave that pot. He gets comfortable with that. Okay? And sometimes it's like that with us. I remember one time when I broke my leg. That's a long story. That was my Nacho Libre days. Sometimes you must go into your private room and wear your sweaty pants. Yes? You got to see the movie. Brenda, this doesn't go back to renting, okay? Yeah. I'm worried now. Yeah, but sometimes we really need to just narrow this thing down. I remember a time when I broke my leg, and it was my ankle, and I went 6 weeks with a screw in my ankle, and then they took the screw out, and I had to go another 6 weeks with a walking cast before I was set free back into life. So after 12 weeks in a cast and on crutches, I remember the first time I took a step without my cast after 12 weeks. I did not realize how much my body had compensated for the thickness of the cast underneath my foot. Okay, I had gotten to the point where it was normal for me to walk. I didn't even realize I was walking all cockeyed and sideways and, you know, one leg 2 inches longer than the other, you know. And so it became normal to me to walk that way. And when he took the cast off and everything was right, everything seemed so wrong. And I took a step, and it felt like, you know, when you're going down the steps and you think you have 9 steps, but you really have 10, you know, and you take that extra step and, whoa, you know, and there is a step down there. And that's how it felt to me. I put my foot down and I was like, okay, I should be feeling, no, it's 2-3 inches further down. And sometimes we as Christians, if we're not careful, we get to being like that too in our walk with God. We get used to walking so much in an awkward way that normal doesn't seem right anymore. Healed and healthy doesn't seem right anymore because we walk so wrong, so crookedly. But we're breaking free of that. Breaking free of that tonight. Right now. Amen.
Amen.
Whew. God's in this house. He's here. You know, we're gonna, you ready to break this cabal off of us?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready. How about you? Yeah. We've talked about this long enough. You know, we need to activate some things. So this won't take very long at all. Okay, we've been preaching about it. We've been talking about it. What God reveals, He touches. God's been revealing this cabal spirit. And so, I know that He's already arrested this whole demonic assignment in a lot of ways. I really think within the next week or two or three, you guys are going to just be blown away just how, wow, this is totally different. It's a whole different thing all of a sudden. Glory to God. It's going to be like that. I'm telling you, because I've walked through this my own church before in Idaho. We haven't had to deal with this in Renton. It's a whole different dimension, a whole different dynamics up there. If it ever has to happen, we'll deal with it. But I've also walked 2 or 3 other churches through this before too, just like we're doing tonight. Only this is more intense than I've ever done it before. Because God has a bigger assignment here than probably anywhere else I've ever been. God has a bigger plan, bigger vision, a bigger goal for this church and for this community than I think any of us have even any clue. So let's, if you're with me on all this and you've followed everything we've talked about and you're in full agreement with this and you've searched your heart, you've connected with other people to make sure you're right with other people, you made sure you're right with your pastor, and you're willing to join with me in the breaking of this cabal off of this church, I want you to stand up with me right now in acknowledgement of that. Okay? Hallelujah. Wow, this is huge. This is a really, really big deal. This is a big deal. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, I need you to just stand up here beside me. You're the shepherd of this church. You're the You're the leader of this. And so I just need your standing here. And I'm just going to lead you guys in a simple prayer. Can you flow with me in this prayer?
Yes, sir.
Father God, I come before you.
God, I come before
you. And we worship you.
We
thank you for your goodness.
We
thank you for the power of the cross.
We
thank you for the covenant of Jesus Christ. God, you've been revealing things to us. You see this cabal spirit that we're dealing with. This assignment of all these different generals. You have taught us a protocol out of your word. And we... In simple faith,
we
follow that protocol. We have searched our hearts. We are right with you.
Right with each other.
Right with leadership. And based upon that stance, we have every assurance that there is nothing holding us back from the breakthrough that we're asking for. So Jesus, we beseech you right now. And we ask you to fully identify every member of this cabal. And that you would, on our behalf, that you would rebuke this. That you would crush this assignment. And that you would open the heaven over this place. We ask this in your name. We ask this for the sake of the kingdom. And we give you praise and glory and honor. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. Who? Who? Wow. Just like that. Ha! Can you guys sense this? Can you feel the difference? This isn't something that has to go away. This is something you can take back to your homes. This is something you can take to your jobs and businesses. This is stuff you take into your recreation, into all your friendships and relationships, godly and unsaved people. This is stuff you take to your personal family and your extended family. Everything that you are. Everything that you represent. As a believer of Jesus Christ, is there. Amen. You may be seated. If you ever have to reinforce this, you know what to do now. Sometimes we need to reinforce it. Sometimes these things are they're chopped off and they try to sneak back around. But now you guys are aware. Okay? I remember when I was in the Army. One of the things we had to do was we had to put our gear on, and then we had to inspect our buddies to make sure their gear was right too. So, are we our brother's keeper?
Yes.
We definitely are. So if y'all see some sneaky snake trying to get over there and touch my brother's wrecking yard, let's go over there and chop that python spirit back off again. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's what we got to do. That's how we function. That's, we're the body, and we're there for each other. We support each other. We strengthen each other, and we're on target to this now. Okay, stay connected to your leadership, to your pastor. So important. I can't emphasize that enough. And you still have to deal with stuff, but you don't have to deal with this cabal, this heavy level, this oppressive level. Oh, it feels good in here, doesn't it? Feels really, really good in here. Fresh.
Hallelujah.
Thus saith the Lord, breathe. Oh. I was reading the Word one time, and I was in prayer over some things. And God had been showing me stuff. And then right after that, I was preaching. And sometimes we preach a word, and something comes out of our spirit that wasn't in our notes or wasn't something that we were even meditating on during the preparation of the Word and in our personal devotion time. But something just jumps out of our spirit, out of our mouth, and we say it. And, you know, when we're preaching, I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody, any of the preachers in this house before, teachers. But this happened to me, and this was the word that came out of my mouth. It was this. It was, we preach the... the gospel of Jesus, and that's good. We need to preach Jesus. That's good. But do we preach the gospel that Jesus preached? And like I said, I wasn't even thinking about that. I just, boom, come out of there. And so I came out of my own mouth. And I realized I might be preaching to myself a little bit here. Yes, I see that hand. Yes. And I got to meditating on that thought and thinking about that. You know, I'm a little bit of a theologian. I love the Word of God. I love to put things together in the Word, you know. And I got to thinking about this, and I love to preach the message of Jesus. It's a great message, the good news of Jesus. Yes, we must teach that. We must proclaim the good news of Jesus. But when I said that, preaching the message that Jesus preached, I had to go back and look at the whole New Testament differently. God will just show you one revelation. You got to go back to the starting point and do it all over again. But that's really good stuff when He puts you up to that, because He's really coming up with something. And so I had to go back and I had to look at everything that Jesus taught and preached, everything that He said. And if you have a red letter edition of your Bible and you just go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and just read the red, and you see what Jesus said, and you look at it from the point of view as, what was the message that Jesus was preaching? 90% of the message that Jesus preached was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Okay? What is the kingdom of God? Guess what? I don't have time to go into that. We'll be here 2 hours tonight. If you'll ever have me back sometime, I'll preach on the kingdom. I love that teaching. So that's my teaser. Let's rise and be dismissed. You guys love me because you have to get to heaven. But what is the kingdom of God? We know it's not a geographical kingdom. We know it's not a political thing that rises up against the Roman government or the American government or any other government or nation per se. The kingdom of God is within us. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is the King of the kingdom. And you know, and I don't have my little kingdom in Renton, and He's got His kingdom here, and you know, and Luke has His kingdom over there in Tumwater. We don't have little. There's only one castle, okay? There's only one kingdom, and I'm praise God that I'm allowed to be a part of that kingdom. When we understand that we have kingdom assignments, and we function under the kingdom concept of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We understand the revelation of what something like that means. Oh, what a difference we walk in. What a difference we live in. Because we understand our identity even better. And everything that Jesus preached was about the kingdom. So when you go back into your Bibles and look at the words in red with the understanding of, I want to learn about your kingdom, Father. I want to learn about the kingdom of God and let God give you the revelation of the kingdom. You'll get that. It's not, once again, it's not complicated if you don't put the flesh into it. If you don't put your narcissistic self into it, the kingdom is not complicated. But if we're like the rich young ruler that had all his stuff and wanted to keep his stuff but follow God too, you can't do that because then God just becomes one of your stuff. We know how unbalanced that is, and there's nothing kingdom about that. It's not to say that you can't have stuff. But those things cannot rival the kingdom of God. You know, my brother's got dirt bikes. Hallelujah. I ride a Harley, and I like to hunt and do a little fishing too. Ain't nothing wrong with all of that as long as fishing and hunting and motorcycling doesn't become God to me. It's all good. So I said all that, and we've done this cabal thing and all of this, and I have this whole 25-page sermon outline I wanted to share with you tonight. I think I'm just going to condense it right on down. Let's get right to the meat of some things, okay? Yeah, wow. We were singing the song tonight, Misty Edwards' song, about you won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. Come be the fire that burns inside of me. Be the flame upon my heart. Well, I pulled out my notes and I showed Brenda the title to what I wanted to share with you, and it's called Keep the Fire Burning. It's interesting how the worship and the word can kind of come together and meet and kiss each other beautifully. You know, it's just beautiful how that works. And I wanted to talk about the keeping the fire burning, and I have this whole sermon all laid out for us. But I'm not going to really go over that. I think we understand about the fire of God. You know, John the Baptist said, "You shall indeed be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire." Speaking about Pentecost and speaking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the passion and the unction of God on our life, and praise the Lord for that. I don't want to live with powerless Christianity.
No, no.
I don't want to live with my religion being a philosophy. I don't want it to be just a code or a roadmap of morality. It's so much more. We got to get past all that into the actual kingdom stuff, you know? We got to get there. And in order to do that, we must remain being a church on fire. A church that's passionate, understanding their kingdom assignment and being excited about that. Being excited about what God is doing in our lives and in our hearts. It is passionate to see God moving in such a way. I've always been this way. Always. Miriam remembers when I was 23 years old, I met Miriam. She was a teenager coming to an English-speaking American church there in Germany. And I was not a pastor then. I was just one of the single guys. And I was as fired up then as I am now, you know. People said, well, he grows up, as he matures in the Lord, he'll mellow out and he'll settle down. It's been 30 years since I got saved. I'm still as radical now as ever, maybe more so, you know. And I'm not slowing down. I'm just as passionate about God and my faith now as ever before. The fire still burns. There's a fire in Kentucky. This old hillbilly guy in Kentucky, he built a fire that he tended. For some reason, he felt like he needed to keep this fire burning. And that fire has been burning after he passed away. His children, his grandchildren picked up the job, and that fire has been burning for over 200 years and has never been out. They just keep that fire burning, okay? 200 years. How many generations of this man's family has kept the fire going? And I got to thinking about that and the generational things that we pass down to our children and our grandchildren and so forth, and how they need to have the same passion and tend the same fire that we tend. I'm so honored that both of my children are now grown up and they're both pursuing the ministry. My daughter is in Fresno. She's been married for a year and a half now to an awesome guy who is an ordained minister in the Church of God. They're full-time youth pastors and worship leaders, and they're eventually going to become senior pastors, and ministry is all that they live for. And then my son right here, he has just a couple weeks ago completed his test and is now an exhorter in the Church of God, beginning his process of ministry. And it's not just the paper, it's the calling upon our lives and how the fire can go from one generation to another. And I so thank God for that. And we need to be people that are pyromaniacs. Y'all understand that, right? You don't play with fire. Oh, you'll get burned if you do that. But we tend the fire, and we each have a fire or a passion inside of us. And it's up to us whether or not that fire dies or not. I've been kicked around. I've been bruised. I've been beat up, spiritually speaking. I've been through my ups and my downs. Amen. But I've never lost my passion for God in my personal life or the passion of the kingdom of God assignment that He has given to me. I've never lost that. And God willing, by His grace, I never will. And I'm here to tell you tonight, now that we got rid of the cabal spirit and heaven is open before you, I want you to focus on your passion. I want you to focus on your calling. Every single one of you have a God-given assignment and calling. And if you don't know what it is now, what was the last thing that He spoke to you about? Huh? That's until God gives you a new assignment, your old assignment has not stopped. Your assignment is where you're going to find your passion, your satisfaction, your fulfillment in life. Oh. So I want to encourage you and strengthen you, because the passion itself comes from God. It was really weird. One time I was, not too long ago, I was praying and the revelation came to me. God has to give me the passion for worship so that I can bless Him. He anoints me to bless Him. What a concept. Lord, anoint us and bless us so that we can be a blessing to You. I love Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Have you ever taken time to read that in Psalm 103 and figure out what God's benefit package for you is as a kingdom dweller, as a kingdom worker? It's all right there in Psalm 103. I think there's 12 or 13 points of the covenant that are ours. So go back and read that later. Some of you are taking notes. Psalm 103. It's one of the most powerful scriptures in all of the Bible. I'm just dangling carrots all over the place, huh?
Yeah.
It's because it's my last night. And I feel such a joy of the Lord in this place. Such a relief, such a freedom here. There's so much love for one another that I feel in this place. There's been so much forgiveness lately. So much grace given to one another. Whew. Things are changing at New Horizon. Things are changing. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.